BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Say something so I can hear you.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, man? What's
going on?
How much? Not a lot, you know, no fireworks, nothing exciting, you know, going on at all, DK. Absolutely nothing.
Troy Fautanu is the name of the young man. Asked him how he pronounces it, and just like every Polynesian name, every syllable gets its own thing. You don't blend them together. It's not Fautanu or anything like that.
Fautanu, nothing like that. Fautanu.
He's not going to get some Pittsburghese either. Fautanu.
Isn't that the most Pittsburgh thing ever? Say that one more time. You sound just like a Yinzer, man.
That's because they're all right outside. Fautanu.
Fautanu.
Fautanu. Fautanu.
Yes.
It's like when Chris Fuamatu Ma'afala was here. Every single syllable, even the extra A, the back-to-back A's, Ma'afala.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kimowatu.
That's right. You didn't blur any of them together. So on that educational note, everybody, we got a bell?
We do got a bell, man. We got answers also, DK. What do you think about this? You ready?
All right. Welcome to the Ramon Foster Show special edition post round one of the NFL draft episode. The Steelers, of course, at the number 20 position, took Washington left tackle Troy Fautanu.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, Moan?
Like him.
You always did.
Yeah. You look at his tape, man. Super twitchy, fast.
What's quick. That mean?
Twitchy, like he moves quick. He gets up out of his stance. You don't have to worry about him setting to a spot. It's funny, one of his weaknesses, I saw somebody write up about him, and I saw it after I looked at his tape. He probably is too aggressive. He's probably too quick. That's him, man. I'm talking about a guy that gets to it. You never have to worry about him, like, starting a fight is where he's at. He punches well. He engages well. He doesn't give up much ground. You could look at this. He's not the biggest, burliest guy, but as far as what you want out of an offensive lineman to say he's a go-getter, he's everything of that, DK, 100%, man. Love this for Pittsburgh to go after a guy like him.
Well, the number one thing that seemed to get discussed about him, I was over there on the south side covering the event, was for fun, the Troy Polamalu connection and everything else, and the, you know, being the big fan and all that other stuff. But the other thing was, this is one chippy, edgy. Look at your face.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Twitchy? Yes. You said chippy. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But I'm talking AFC North. Okay.
Didn't we say that though?
His tape is such that you look at it and you go, oh, that's what I want Sunday in Cincinnati or Sunday in Baltimore. You know, that's what I want over there. I would say that that's what I want against Cleveland, except Myles Garrett doesn't ever do any damage against this team. It doesn't matter who's at left tackle. So I'll just say Cincinnati and Baltimore, all right?
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Again, had a first-round grade. And I think NFL Network is kind of hard on guys, like as far as like what their projection could be and how you view them and stuff like that. One of the things with him was like a starter in about 2 years, really good starter in about 2 years. You look at him 6'4 and some change, man, about 320. When you see him on tape, he doesn't look like he's holding 320 on him either. Like if you watch his movements,
it's fluid. It's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I had a Baltimore fan tell me, why in the bleep do y'all do this to us every year? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like you find these guys that everybody knows is that good, but you guys are always the ones to get them. And I'm like, Well, they have a good scout department, DK. That's what they do. I absolutely enjoy watching his tape. If you haven't looked at Troy Fatanu's tape, you're doing yourself a disservice, man. Hands solid, feet solid. The only thing that'll get
feet are extraordinary. Pardon me for the interjection.
No, go ahead.
The more of this I ended up watching last night, you know how it's different. You can watch the tape beforehand, and you're not all that invested because it's one of like 20 guys you're looking at.
And then
he's your guy. Mm-hmm. Now you're watching him like, oh, I'm going to be seeing this individual for 10 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, we hope. Yeah.
Now I'm invested.
Yeah. And that's where he is, man. Is a left tackle, can play it before. I'm going to be real with you. I love my guy Beachman. Anthony Stewart puts up there the comments. We can put him on at any point in time, DK.
Yeah. He says he has the Kelvin Beachum feel to him. Beach was nasty. Beach for a preacher was nasty.
Yeah, no, that's my brother. He was filthy. Okay, yeah, he was.
But Beach was also really specific as it relates to what's the word I'm looking for here? Technique.
A technique. Yes.
Okay, he was a technician.
Yeah.
On the field, and that's why he was able to do multiple things at multiple positions. That's another thing. I don't want to make it sound like this. The Steelers got some junkyard dog. Even if they did,
he's got
left tackle. He's got the feet to spring up into any situation to explode out into space. I hate to start sounding like these guys, you know, these guys on the NFL analyze shows, but this is actually the best way to describe it. And it was something that Mike Tomlin brought up. The systems that the University of Washington had in place leaned so hard on his ability to be able to move in different directions and to execute plays. And remember that he's a left tackle with Michael Penix, who's a left-handed throwing quarterback.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So he was focal point times a billion, and they had a deep passing attack, which means what, Moan?
He had to be able to pass pro and stand tall.
He had to do literally everything. He had to hold it.
He's so I got some stuff starts who we'll get to in a second, but he's so fluid that you'll see a dude like him. He'll set slow. And when he sees the D lineman speed up, he's athletic enough to catch up with them. Think about what I'm saying. Imagine walking backwards and you keep in pace with somebody who's speed walking forward. Can you do that?
Is that
a good description?
It's a great point. I want to read this from Vegas TJ. He says that Fautanu looked like he was getting beat to the inside, but he did a spin move and ended up in his perfect position. Yep. Everyone's gonna be mad at me for this, but I have to do this. Okay, I'm gonna give you a hockey example. Okay, Chris Letang from the Penguins has made a brilliant career. He's the best defenseman in franchise history of being able to do exactly what Vegas TJ here describes. And I saw so much of that from Fautanu last night in going through his film, where Moan, he might even let a guy quote unquote beat him.
You know where I'm going here,
but he would turn into the correct path and he would just adjust because his feet were so much quicker than his opponents that it didn't matter. One way or another, you're sealing the dude.
He's naturally good at it, right, DK? In the old days where, and I'm going to bring up something that I saw Flozell Adams doing, okay? In the old days where you're saying he can let a guy go and do their thing, and you remember seeing guys set somebody up in and smack him in the back of the back real hard and make him fall down, that would be one of his, I'm talking about go-to moves if the NFL allowed that anymore right there, where you could set guys up and hit them in the back of their shoulder pads and make them hit the ground. That's some stuff that he's capable of doing, man. I saw the same spin play that you guys talk about. That right there also is learned. It's a field thing. Not everybody can do that. You got to have good enough feet, good enough confidence, and good enough athletic ability to know that you're capable of doing those types of things. I want to get straight to a really cool question, DK, because I'm sure this is what everybody was thinking.
There's some good ones here. I'm looking through this list. Okay.
It was this right here from Avery Jones. Avery, got to get you a membership.
What's that all about? Yeah.
That's a great question, though. He goes, hey, Mo, since Troy Fautanu blocked for a left-handed quarterback, what is it like blocking for a lefty like Mike Vick? Here's the thing. there's anxiety in blocking on either side. Okay, if you're worried about you having a right-handed quarterback that he has to play for right now, now that he can potentially be on the blind side, it won't matter because the thing is just simply getting the job done. All offensive linemen have anxiety no matter if you're playing left or right side. And I know, of course, the left-handed quarterback see the sack coming to him. It's the same job. What I'm getting to also is this. Don't overcomplicate where he will play it if he has to stick with the left side.
Well, Robert Ryder comes in with a related question, and that is, does Troy not having to protect, he says Bo Nix, but he's actually referring to Michael Penix.
Michael Penix.
Blindside help the transition if he makes one to right tackle? You see what I mean? If he's on the quarterback's side, does it matter or not?
It doesn't because, again, if he has to learn how to play right, if Broderick wants to play left and is making the moves in it, it's a matter of him honestly being athletic enough to be able to just move over. The thing about it, and I had somebody tell me this morning, most offensive linemen have to be pliable. They have to be moldable. They got to be clay, transitional guys to where you can move them from one side to the other. There's a couple guys that I think wouldn't have been able to play multiple positions, okay? DeCastro's primarily right guard.
He was a guard, and he was a right guard.
Chris Kimuatu, right, left guard.
Left guard.
Max Starks, I think, played right tackle. Then he went to left, right?
That is correct.
Even
Max
Marquise
got paid.
Marquise played guard, okay?
Not in Pittsburgh,
but had before.
You just threw me there for a second.
Every single guy on the offensive line, for the most part, can move from right to left. It does turn down to be a mind game, or sometimes the coaches just say, I don't want to fight this battle. It's just like I said, when it came down to who did the tap as far as our offense go, DeCastro just wasn't going to be able to do it. It just wasn't his thing. Offensive linemen have it.
Alan Collins comes in. We're continuing with that same theme, and this is another really good question, but this is just your opinion, Moan. Would it be better to move Broderick Jones back to the left or to just go ahead and say to Faletonu, stay on the left side, Broderick, you just played the better part of an NFL season on the right side?
It's a great problem to have.
That's not an answer.
I know it ain't an answer, DK. I know it ain't an answer. It depends on Broderick. It depends on Broderick. If Broderick has fully committed himself to learning how to be an NFL pro and grow and show that, hey, he's going to be an anchor, that is another thing, too, I think that Faletonu has to do. He ain't undersized because he's doggone near 320, okay? But he has light, quick feet. How quickly can he anchor to continue to keep the pressure off of the quarterback is the issue that I think – one issue that he may have – as it pertains to him being the blind side of a quarterback. Again, anxiety on both sides on not giving up pressure and giving up sacks, but he's naturally good at left. Broderick naturally good at left. And we saw Broderick also adjust and play right tackle too. It really is a roll of dice and throw him up against the wall type of situation to me.
Yeah, I
know that ain't the answer you want, but
I think the answer comes from the athletes. I know coaches will always, you can't just go asking the player what it is that they want to do. Right. But in this case, you know, Broderick was just at right tackle. Now, Broderick himself has said he prefers to be on the left side. We don't have to, you know, this question came up as well with Faletonu last night on our conference call. And his response was, listen, you know, exactly what your response would be if you just got drafted minutes ago, which is whatever the team needs me. I just want to help the team win games, blah, 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 right? Okay. But you have to get them in a room and say, listen, we're going to put you here. Not in the regular season. Where we're going to put you here in OTAs is where you might be for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's really think about this and talk this out.
Because you got a guy just as young as you that just was drafted the year before. That's the other beautiful thing about him, too. The age of these guys, DK.
Like, oh, yeah. They're children.
They are, man. Like, they legitimately are. And I think it's super cool to see, again, another one of those guys. Remember, we talked about in this pre-draft conversation. He's 6'4 and some change. Over 300, well, close to 320 pounds and pretty much ran a 5-flat. He ran a 5.01 at 320 pounds.
That's just stupid.
I don't want to be all peaches and cream with this either. Here's the thing that he has to do. He's got to get just a slightly bit more heavy footed, or on his contact, be able to put his foot down and anchor a little bit more.
That's I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. That's college to NFL.
Yeah, yeah. Because again, the body types are different. These dudes always say, man, in that year 4, 5, 6, and 7 that you got to face on the D line, those dudes are very experienced. And if they see you are happy footed, they're going to set you up and push you another way in those type of situations like that, man. Very, very, very fascinating guy. And again, I think he's very moldable.
Jim says, Jones is a powerful run blocker. Which side do the Steelers run to most often?
That's usually determined on who, what it looks like during the course of the season, Jim.
Yeah, that is. And the running back.
I think what you're suggesting is this, though, Jim.
And the opponent.
But Jim, I don't know if you're suggesting this or this is what you're thinking, but just say if Roderick Jones is a powerful run blocker, then you'd rather see him on the right side because that's the stereotype of right tackles and right guards.
You know what my answer to Jim's question would be?
What's that?
Whatever side you're stacking Darnell Washington on.
Oh, and then there's that. And then there's
Don't forget, there's ample help for either of these young men, whichever side they happen to be on. Good stuff here from everybody. When we come back, we're going to get to the only segment that matters.
Y'all are here, and that's Hey Mom.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show and the only segment that matters. That's the Hey Moan segment in which you ask, Hey Moan, followed by an actual thing. And sometimes people will just share a viewpoint. John says that the Steelers have 3 natural left tackles. Let them sort it out in camp. No. You did not invest all this draft capital in these two guys to have a camp fight.
Oh, man, I don't – again, it's a great problem to have. And if you're talking about Dan Moore, Troy Faitano, Broderick Jones, like, yeah, I love it. It will – I'll say this in my personal opinion. I would elect to probably have a conversation with Broderick if I was a coach and if I was Pat Meyer and say, hey, I know what you said, okay? You want to be our left tackle. But look at what Lane Johnson got broke off not that long ago. Right tackles also get paid in this league. If we're going to be the best team to get to a point to where we win Super Bowls, competing deeper in the playoffs, trust me and stick to the right side on this one and keep the young fella Troy over on the left.
David wants to know about Dan Moore. What happens to him? Will he be able to hold his ground in camp and to stay at the number one in his position?
Man, this is going to be hard. It's a fair league at times, but sometimes just some stuff ain't right. How many times have you ever seen a first rounder, even some of the ones that y'all did not like, get on the field above somebody else? It ain't fair sometimes. Like, no. I know I said it is. It ain't fair sometimes. Dan Moore is just going to have to fight. And if he has the possibility to build his resume or ask to get traded somewhere, do it. The writing's on the wall.
Fight or flight. And I'm looking at flight right now.
But flight ain't a bad thing for him, DK. Yeah,
there's only – huh?
Flight's not a bad thing for him because opportunities Pittsburgh has gotten
– That's what I mean. They can tell you that once. Hey, we're bringing in somebody, compete, whatever else here. The second time, that's when he's got to have his what's his name? Kevin Dotson moment where he just says, listen, hey. I get it. All right. I'm out of here.
If I'm his agent, I'm calling today. I'm calling during the week. Something has to happen. Only situation I can see, DK, is this. Only other situation I can see where you can keep all 3 is after Isaac's done. Move Troy in the guard.
Well, see, that came up. I was the one that brought it up last night with Tomlin and asked, you know, is he center capable? I actually used the Tomlinism. Is he center capable? He said, we're not thinking about that right now. He's a tackle. was asked again about it later by somebody else. He's a tackle. He laughed off, Tomlin did, and I mean literally laughed off any concerns about his size, that he's 3/16 of an inch below 6'4". He couldn't care less. He said his arms are long, which is your top priority. Yeah.
Arms, yeah.
And he said that, he said, guys, what are we talking about here? A quarter of an inch? He's another quarter inch taller. You wouldn't even be asking the questions. You can actually hear him saying it.
I can't hear him saying that, man. But just not even just that, man. His measurables, 32.5-inch vert. He screams explosion. He screams it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. That's what it screams, DK.
Yeah, we're already trading Dan Moore here. There's a lot of Dan Moore talk, trade fodder. I mean, I think this is where this needs to go, and I say that out of respect to Dan. I think the world of him and what he's done off the field. I know you do. And the way he conducted himself and carried himself through the Broderick Jones thing, at some point you have to say, listen, man, I'm a three-year starter in this league too. I saw what happened. Kendrick Green got a little bit of a fresh start somewhere else. Kevin Dotson got a fresh start somewhere else. You know what? I can do that too. We'd have 3/5 of that last Ben Roethlisberger line getting a fresh start somewhere else. And that can be that. It doesn't have to be acrimonious. It doesn't have to be nasty, but it's probably going to happen.
And that's my thing as it pertains to Dan Moore. I don't see this one being a nasty situation. I think because of all the quarterbacks that went, remember we talked about this, you're going to have talent that gets pushed back. And it did get pushed back. So much so that Jarrett Verse, I think, went, what, middle of the 20s as an outside rusher? And he's supposed to be projected as like a top 10 guy?
That's right.
You know, Dallas Turner, another one of those guys, top 10 guy, got pushed back into the teens and 20s. Like, the quarterbacks reset everybody's board last night, and it was a situation that you couldn't pass up on Troy, man.
Now, quarterbacks, and then the real run on offensive tackles, which everybody forecast that, but you still have to see it happen. Mario asks, hey, Moan, the Steelers would have had a conversation with Troy Faotanu telling him their plans for him, right? Can I jump on this one?
Go ahead.
Okay. The answer to that would actually be a partial no and a yes, because I'm only relaying this and jumping Moan here because I know his travel plans. Yeah. He took a red eye from Las Vegas, Harry Reid International Airport last night, and got into Pittsburgh extremely early this morning. Okay. And his outlook was that he was going to come in today and talk to the coaches and talk to everybody today. No, the conversation was not had with him before this pick because he wasn't their guy. There's no reason to have it. Now he's in your fold. Now you have a chance to talk to Broderick Jones. Now, if needed, you talk to Dan Moore. You start sorting things out.
Yeah, you do. And here's the thing. So as a rookie, you don't get much say. So even the first round, it's not even a franchise quarterback. You don't. You do what you're told as a rookie, and you set yourself up for however you need to. The question probably was to him, Where do you think you fit best? Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll see what happens in camp and OTAs. That's the conversation.
And out of respect to Faotanu, he can't answer right tackle because he hasn't done it. What's he going to say? Oh, I'd love to be over there. He has no idea.
He really don't even know his teammates. So how are he going to say I'm better than that guy and that guy and that guy? You know what
Nor
I'm saying?
Nor anything about the offense or anything else here.
And you don't have a blatant need at one of those tackle positions. Your tackle positions were filled. It's not like you drafted a rookie and said, yeah, that's our left tackle starter. Like some stuff has to be worked out on this one right here.
Yeah, I have a bone to pick here with Anthony Stewart. He says, I would hate for Dan Moore to turn into Kevin Dotson. By that, I presume he means a success somewhere else. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be, you know, you're my favorite guy. I'm really supporting you and everything else. And in the moment they're gone, you're thinking, man, I hope they fail so that I can feel better about a personnel move.
Right.
I'm not being mean here, Anthony. It's just, these are the guy to my side here. He's a human. Okay. Yeah. And if something had happened in the final couple of years of his career where he would have said, listen, I'm not getting that other contract offer, the third contract offer from the Steelers, he has to go somewhere else. What do you want to do? You want him to fail?
No, you don't want that. You don't want that. Or the fact that you look at it in hindsight and say, dang, we missed out. No, it might have been the system.
Right.
You can't miss out on that.
That's Dotson to a T, by the way.
Yeah.
That's Dotson was just not a fit at all for what they were trying to do here schematically. He was a fit for just shoving a dude down the field 10 yards.
Which is what they want to do. A great problem to have. Great, great problem to have.
Good stuff here from Ben Cohen. Says, hey, Moan. Mike Tomlin mentioned how much the University of Washington prioritized Fautanu schematically. What does that mean as a strong side tackle? Pulling on counter runs, screen plays, et cetera. What does that say about his talents?
That means they evaluated him and saw some very strong traits, meaning he moves well, we'll pull him and get him in space. He moves well left, get him and pull him to the left and to the right. That means that, hey, in the run blocking, he's good in combination blocks is what you see on tape. They play to his strengths, meaning it's just like you having a quarterback that can't throw a deep ball. Why would you force a quarterback to throw a deep ball if he's not that good at it, right? Or if you have a quarterback that only wants to roll out one way and not the other way, why would you continue to run plays with him that allow him to have freedom? No, he's the type of guy that you say, listen, we're going to utilize every strength you have. Are you quick? Fine. We're going to do screens. We're going to put you in space, let you show how good you are. I'll put it this way. The moments in which you saw Marquise Pouncey run out in space down the field,
yep,
that's utilizing somebody schematically.
You know what I think it means? Everything that you just said, plus you could just tell this from Mike Tomlin's attitude about the kid last night. He loves the fact that Washington's offense and their schematics did all of the Steelers' homework for them. Because everything they'd want to see was right there. As Mike Tomlin said to me last night, he goes, just look at the tape. Just look. He looked right in my eyes and said, just look at the tape. Fautanu had his introductory press conference about 25 minutes ago, and Alan says that Dan Moore called him when he was on the plane to welcome him to the Steelers. That's who you're talking about, kids. That's look here. That's who you're talking about. Okay,
leave that for DK. He knows what's in front of him.
He knows what's in front of him.
Wowzers.
That Greg Smoke says Dan Moore is a class act, and then he takes a shot at Kenny Pickett. Get out of here.
Nah, man, screw that, DK. That dude didn't want it out, man.
I'm just telling you that I think that we'll see. We're going to see how tonight goes.
We'll see. I did see somebody post something with a contribution that really made me go, oh, okay. It was, give me one second, DK. I'm sure you saw it. Mike J, you want me to put it up?
Go ahead.
Mike J goes, hey, Mo, O-line left or right? Broderick Jones, Isaac Seumalo, James Daniels, Moore, and Fautanu.
You know, here's the thing.
I'll entertain it for a second.
And JD himself has said he enjoyed playing center when he did it in Chicago, okay? Here's the thing. Every time people like me bring this up with people like them, they gun it down, Moan. They there's no hesitation. There's not the door left slightly ajar. They just gun it down. No, James is staying where he is.
Okay.
So I don't know how to entertain conversations like this otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll just say this: coaches lie. We've seen them lie before.
That is accurate. But in this context, I don't know that there's much benefit to it.
Okay, I feel you on that one.
So it's not me saying it. It's them saying it. I think it's a neat idea. I think it's something that you would entertain here.
So to that same sentiment, though, you still have Jackson Powers Johnson available, and you also got Zach Frage available.
Every center in the class.
Except now, for that Graham Barton.
That doesn't mean that they'll be available when the Steelers pick, but the Steelers could, I think, kind of casually move up in the second round if they felt – all right, here, let's go ahead and get the center out of the way.
And that's where Dan Moore can be a trade option package. Who knows?
And Dan's still cheap, too. He's still on his rookie contract. Justin Work says, with a $10 contribution, hey, Bone, can you tackle this question? You see how funny Justin is? You see that?
Yeah, I see that.
Can you tackle this question? If there isn't a season opening center available tonight, I mean, there will be.
There will be, Justin.
Yeah.
We appreciate your contribution, but there will be.
What's the plan? There will be. I don't think it's more complicated than that. Every single center still. And how about, by the way, every corner was sitting there at number 20. This is one of those subjects we discuss further down the road.
Yeah.
But those were some really, really good corners.
Quinyon, Terrion. But remember, we had the conversation too about do you really want two really young corners at the helm of your starting spots? You know, I'll say this, it's much easier to have two young tackles than it is two young corners.
Chad has one for you. He says, hey, Moan, will Arthur Smith have a good screen scheme to take advantage of the mobile offensive line? Well, you've got a mobile left tackle.
Yeah, and right.
For sure.
Whichever one.
And Broderick, right. And Broderick's not some statue. Okay? No. Broderick can get around. He's just...
He's a big old, I'm talking about bears, what he is. Broderick can move, man. But yes, Chad, the answer is yes. It should, what I expect after this offense, if these dudes, here's the other thing, if they live up to what we think they are, there would be moments of dipping to where they probably have bad games. Let's put that in our mind right now. Mm-hmm. The rookies, you're playing in the AFC North, and Baltimore and Cleveland and Cincinnati are probably chomping at the bit to say, ooh, we got us one, y'all. We better get them while they're young. So feel this high that you have, but also remember, there are some growing pains that's going to have to happen. But what you will have at some point, if they hit on their expectations, you'll have an offensive line of balance like Philly's. And I hate to even correlate it to them, but Philly's good. Philly can pull left and right. They can run left, run right. They have protection on both sides of it, but that also come at a price because Maialata just got broke off, and Lane Johnson's been one of the best, highest paid right tackles in the game for a very long time. Remember this now.
I'll tell you. You know what kind of screenplay I'm running?
What's that?
Here's what I've got. Quick, behind the line of scrimmage. By the way, Russell Wilson threw a ton behind the line of scrimmage last year. People need to know that in advance, okay? So before you start Matt Canada-ing him out of nowhere, okay, there's going to be a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. So Russ throws behind the line of scrimmage to Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren's got a little bit of a screen going. Mm-hmm. He's got either pick your side, but Darnell Washington is on that side too. And all of these guys, you can tell I'm all on Darnell today, right?
Yeah.
They follow the Redwoods to that side, okay, you're going to have yourself a play, especially if you can somehow stunt an offensive lineman out there too, meaning beyond the tackle, you know, stunt a guard out there, the old David DeCastro pull play.
Yep.
Send the Redwoods out. Clear the forest. Okay?
Yeah.
You've got yourself, if you don't get 6 or 7 yards on the play, something has physically gone wrong, like someone has fallen on their face. This is an unstoppable thing that you want to establish as a big, strong offense.
Yeah, for sure. You got power, you got finesse with this group right now, DK. That's what's super, super, super cool about it is you got power and you also with these dudes up front. Boy, I hope they bring together. By the way, we want to talk about speed real quick too.
Yeah.
You remember what Broderick Jones ran last year?
I'm sure you do.
A 4.97.
That's not right. No, I don't mean that your information is not right. I mean, that's not a right thing by laws of physics.
It's not a 4.97. Even if it's a 5.001, a 4.97 for a 300 and about 30 pound. No, 300 about 20 pound guy. That's crazy.
Tube Dude has a little bit of exasperation here. Says, hey, Moan, why do we keep drafting linemen and then moving them from the position that they played in college?
Because the more you can do. That's our motto inside that building. The more you can do. Ain't no other way around it. Whatever you can do to help this team win. It's been that way for a very long time, and it's going to stay that way. For offensive linemen, too, the good ones can move from right to left. The good ones can go from tackle to guard. The good ones can go from guard to center. There is no, hey, we're drafting you specifically for this reason. Again, and also when you have a team and you're not drafting for specific needs, you get the best one that's available and you say, we're going to make this one work. That's how it works. It ain't a knock. And I don't think it's bad on the coaching staff to do those type things. I'm listening to the same thing right now as the team I cover down here. The Titans drafted J.C. Latham. He's now their starting left tackle. They said it. He's a left tackle. You're not the only franchising team that's doing this. And one more thing.
J.C. Latham can play. That's such a nice pick for them. Did you hear from the future Tennessee quarterback on that subject?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I talk to him on it.
But I'll bet he's happy.
100%. You have to be able to shore up both sides of the tackle spots these days too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's all bookends. And that's also now, by the way, why they're kind of getting equally paid anymore. You notice that it used to, all the money went to the left side.
It used to be here and here. Now it's there's witness. Well,
but that's also good for the Steelers too, because those conversations that they would have had theoretically today are a lot easier now. Now you're not trying to take some money out of somebody's pocket by saying, hey, we need you on the right side. Now it's just, hey, we need you on the right side. And believe me, you're going to get paid wherever you go.
It does make it easier. And here's another thing that makes the transition easier to DK is this. You got two dudes pretty much on one-year deals. Russell, 1.2-ish, whatever that is, and they didn't pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option. Whatever happens with either one of those, if Justin plays and they want to extend him or vice versa with Russ, you have yourself, or neither is there. You have a foundation of saying, hey, we have a guy, we have an offensive line for the future. The same thing, and I hate I'm going to say it, DK, and I never thought it till it came to my mind right now.
Go ahead.
This is Philly one-on-one.
It so is. It so is.
It's Philly one-on-one. They went and found a second-round quarterback that slipped. That's now their franchise.
I hate that the Eagles are the model, but they are.
It's a daggone good one, ain't it?
It's a really good model.
I ain't got a Super Bowl out of it yet. Well, yeah, they did. Well, they got it in 17.
They've been Yeah, I mean, it's not like they've been bad. When you win a Super Bowl and get to a Super Bowl, you'll take that.
Oh, I mean, 10 times out of 10, right?
Mike says, hey, Moan, offensive line left. We did. That's right.
We had that one from Mike.
D-Rock says, hey, Moan, what direction do the Steelers go in the second round?
I was wrong on almost all my mocks. I was wrong on the Steelers one. I was wrong on the Titans, man. I'm going to tell you this.
Wait a second. How wrong were you? You said all along that they were going to take an offensive tackle.
I did. I said Joe Alt, and I didn't realize that Jim Harbaugh would take Joe Alt as a fifth rounder and make him a right tackle because they got Rashawn Slater. Again, that's another franchise that's moving a guy out of position he was drafted.
Yes.
J.C. Latham was the next guy up. I think a wide receiver would be appropriate, but where's the quality going to be at by the time the Steelers pick that guy, right? I'd go receiver, I go center, and I try to find an edge. Well, D lineman if it's appropriate at that point.
I see the second round. Now, see, I'm tired of advocating for the wide receiver position. I mean, because I know it's not going to get anywhere. And here's what I have, Moan.
Okay.
Offensive line.
Yeah.
As long as you're this close, go ahead and get it done.
Talking about a center.
Yeah. Okay. If you have an opportunity to take either here, I'll couch it. If you have an opportunity to take either Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier,
yeah.
The consensus, borderline unanimous consensus, top two centers. If one of those two is there, you take them. Yeah. And to finish the job.
And guess what? It ain't cute. You ain't gonna see them score touchdowns.
Nope.
You ain't gonna see them catch balls.
You see them celebrate touchdowns.
And that's what we're looking for. I said it a while back, and I think we somewhat both softly agree. This is somewhat of a reset, rebuild.
On that side of the ball. Yeah. Scott says, do you think that Adonai Mitchell's medical condition makes him fall into the Steelers' lap? It's hard to pass up. For anybody who doesn't know what Scott's asking about, he's type one.
Yeah.
And that requires a lot of maintenance. It requires a lot of discipline. It requires a lot of maturity. And the latter two things have not been Mitchell's strengths in college. There's a lot of George Pickens in his scouting report. Okay. And I don't think George is a bad kid or anything else. And I'm not suggesting anything about Mitchell, but the maturity thing. And I've covered professional athletes who are type one. It can be managed, but it is work.
You know who else was type one, if my information is correct? Pat Peterson, Kendall Simmons. Jay Cutler was also. It's manageable. It has to be managed. The thing about A.D. Mitchell is this also. Apparently, whenever he's on the field and the ball's not coming to him, he can just take off. So it's a matter of what you want to deal with. Yeah. You said it a second ago. Yeah.
So when I read when I've looked into Mitchell and I've looked at his film, it's George's film, okay? Yeah, where you just go, oh my God,
can break a guy down, good at route running, getting open, right?
he can hit, he can beat you short range, he can beat you deep down the field, he can do anything physically. But I think to myself, already I'm worried about the composition of the wide receiver room, and now I've got to deal with two Georges.
Yeah.
And I'm not crazy about it.
I'll play conspiracy theorists real quick. All right. What if there's an option out there for Ayuk or one of those guys from Cincinnati too, like T. Higgins or whoever, right? And to where you package up and they just drafted a young guy in Cincinnati and Amarius Mims. Or you send another tackle because why? San Francisco can't keep Trent Williams forever. And you try to get Brandon Ayuk. These are the things that could happen in a night like tonight too. If we're trying to find a mature, proven, hey, he's going to be a consummate pro wide receiver. Because again, in that second round, I love it. And there's some good talent there, but there is a bit of a drop off when you're asking that guy to be a very good compliment to a guy like George Pickens.
Man, I want one of those guys so bad. You can shut me up forever by bringing in. Nobody's really a big Cortland Sutton guy. He gets some touchdowns and whatever.
Cortland, yeah.
Okay. But Ayuk, take my belongings, take my possessions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And give me Ayuk. You know what I'm saying? Am I out of line here, Moan?
You ain't out of line.
Not a first rounder.
Not a first rounder. A player plus third.
Second or third or whatever it is. If they need offensive line, there's your place to match up with Dan Moore.
Next year, second maybe.
You know, that's kind of what I'm getting at here. Dwight Jefferson, we're going to take a couple more today, says, are the Steelers sticking with in-house solutions at center, as Khan stated after releasing Mason Cole? First of all, Omar Khan didn't state that. I was in the room. What he actually said was, Nate Herbig is at the top of our depth chart. We believe in Nate Herbig. No, they don't. Okay. Don't listen to what they say. Yeah. Watch what they do. Nate Herbig couldn't get a helmet, couldn't get onto the football field last year, even though Mason Cole couldn't snap the ball straight.
Yeah, they have a second-year young guy, man, and what's his name? Ryan McCollum, who's in-house also. We'll see what happens with guys like him, but if you're not seeing the field or you're one of those off-season signings, you got a lot to prove to be an unproven guy that's not an original, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chad wants to know what you think about flipping Broderick Jones. Can he make that flip after a year at right tackle in the NFL?
He better be able to, is what I tell you, because he said he wants to. That's the thing we're dealing with. Don't be loud and not be able to do it. But to answer your question, Chad, yes. I think he can flip.
You know why I'm laughing? I just remember Vince Williams yelling across the room at Zach Banner. Uh-huh. Oh, you're out. You got that big hair and everything, and that's all right as long as you bring it onto the field.
Bring it onto the field. You have to be intentional with football.
A room filled with reporters.
Yeah, you have to be intentional with football. You can't just talk about it. If you demand something loudly, we need to see those same results be loud too.
Oh my goodness. All right, guys. So when we come back, we're gonna take care of some business.
Yeah,
because we can do that here.
Whoo!
You know, the graphics on this show are really good. We don't give the boss enough credit.
Yeah,
she's good, really man. Good.
Yeah. Really killing it, man.
You know? Even that outro live weekdays 4 p.m. and it's flashing off all like
that's dope, man. That's dope.
We're making her blush a deep shade of red over there.
Like we need to, DK.
Taking care of business as promised here. Lots and lots of gift memberships here. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go through some of them here. Dane came in with 5. Barbara came in with his requisite 5. Renee came in real early with 20. Polly said, well, I can do that too, Renee. Justin Work came in with 5. Santino just came in with a $20 contribution. Steven with 10. Antonio with 5. Mm. D-Rock with 5. The Master of Music sounds like a pretty high
It is. That's high class, right?
Yeah, high class civilization. That's high class, kind of right?
Put a Z at the in the middle of that too.
I like that. Yeah, yeah. A whole bunch of Jonah came in with five here, along with wanting to put together a to get McConkey early tonight. Who's McConkey? Is that
Lad McConkey? Lad McConkey out of Georgia. Hey, I know there's a lot of stereotypes in sports. This guy's a wide receiver who's a white guy who is fast and can break you down, DK. He's a slot-type guy, though, so it's a matter of what you're looking for. He do it. He had a little bit of injuries at Georgia, but when it, as it pertains to him being able to make plays and get open, he checks that box, DK.
One of these days, we're going to do an entire show, unfiltered, unbarred in any way about racial stereotypes in football.
Sneaky athlete.
Yeah. Isn't it going to be great? Sneaky athlete is great. Okay.
Yeah.
Where the quarterback is black, but they say, but he has a pocket presence.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
wow, what are you saying there? Wow.
Oh, geez. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, blatant really? Stereotypes that we all know. Man, or Deion that year in that cornerback. Boy, you see how fast he is?
Man.
Like, yeah.
Look at that.
Lunch pail guy. First one in, last one out. What? Just say what he is, okay?
Lunch pail guy is
possession
great.
Wide receiver.
Possession
yeah.
wide receiver is another one.
Yeah,
These are the best. This is going to make for the best episode of this show someday.
Motor. He's got a motor out of this world. Try hard. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
you know who gets a lot of nonstop motor? You know who gets that? TJ.
TJ. But
TJ why?
Athletic, though.
I know he is, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about perception. The reason that TJ gets nonstop motor is because he's white.
Yeah. You know who really? Else has nonstop motors?
Go ahead.
Cam. Debo does. I thought Ryan Clark. I thought Troy Polamalu does. There's a lot of, we want to just say, middle of the road, like white guys also that play football too, like, and just are just good too. So there's a lot of that, man. He's a dog. I see Ryan Light. He's a dog. Like, yeah, like it's okay to say, yeah, like he just good.
He runs really good routes.
Twitchy. Yeah. Long, athletic. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, may not be the fastest, but he's smart. Smart. Hey, when they say coach's kid, oh, my God. Yeah, that's we know what that is right there.
One of my favorite examples of this, and I swear we'll sign off, but one of my favorite examples here, and I'm not even going to name who it was, but the Pirates had an African-American player on a team. Not Andrew McCutcheon, not anybody of prominence, who was slower than freaking molasses. Okay, it wasn't overweight or anything, and he looked like an athlete, just had no speed whatsoever. And the visiting team's announcers would always say when he'd get onto first base, "Oh, you got to watch this guy. He can run. He can go. He can go. He can go." He's thinking, "What are you basing that on? He has one steal all year, okay? And it was the back end of a double steal. What are you really saying here by observing this gentleman at first base?"
Yeah. Oh, here's another good one. Tremendous upside. Smart. Oh, my gosh. We can go through this one.
I love it. No, it wasn't Al Martin. Al could fly.
Oh, Jim Rat. That's another good one, right? Jim Rat.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh. Those are good.
All right,
but Lad is just good. I'm gonna be real with you. He's just solid, man. Really good.
Moan wants to have a Monday show, and we will have a Monday show, another special episode that reviews the entire draft class that the Steelers will have put together. We'll have had a good look at all of their picks.
Yeah.
The impact that it has moving forward. And then, of course, we'll be back next Wednesday with our regular weekly episode.
No, these stereotypes are still good. Got good work ethic, high ceiling. Oh my God!
Here comes word. Was that? That was from Barber.
Yeah, high ceiling. Oh me, oh my.
Barber. It. Barber tells it like that. Yeah,
that's sports for you, though, man. That's sports for you.
Oh, one of the worst is Slash.
Slash.
Because every time there's a black quarterback, that he has to be somebody who could also play another position just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're a Slash. Good stuff.
Pittsburgh Hornets. You're right. It's Friday, and we gotta act like it too. Hey, y'all know how this goes, man. We're all enjoying the draft. I'll give you something different today. the same way you feel about these guys coming in, have that same feeling and understand that not every single one of them is going to work out. There will be some pitfalls. Just because they're not as good as you think they are don't mean they suck, okay? It takes time sometimes. But with all of that being said, I'm asking you to have compassion for each other. Call somebody you ain't talked to in a while. Apologize to somebody. Have somebody apologize to you. Buy somebody a random drink. Have a random conversation, man. But at all times, make it back to us. And love on each other, man. Too much other stuff going on for us not to. Be good people.
And pull for Dan Moore.
Yeah.
See you Monday. There you go.